Apartment People, champion, the trusted name in Columbus Living, brings you the District of Berkshire.
Man, it will be fun to live there, right by Tanger Outlet Malls. Oh my God, great location too, getting to and from Columbus, and a great deal right now.
Free rent until next year. Free rent until next year.
He ain't lying. Move in now. You don't pay rent until next year.
The District at Berkshire. Available now at livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com.
Care Bears Countdown. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Who's that coming from somewhere up in the sky? Moving fast and bright as a firefly. Just when you think that trouble's gonna pounce, who's gonna be there when it really counts? Do that Care Bears Countdown and send a wish out through the air.
And send a wish out through the air.
Just do that Care Bears Countdown. Just when you need them, they'll be there.
Just when you need them, they'll be there.
Don't be afraid when clouds are brewing in your heart. If you can dream, just send a wish out in the dark. And do that Care Bears Countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome to the 51st episode of Tooncast, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am your host, TFG1 Mike, and today I am joined once again by Kevin Professor Roskay Dog Thompson. Hello, sir.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I am doing fantastic as long as my equipment doesn't fail on us.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
What have you been up to lately?
Not much, really. I've just been podcasting my butt off, pretty much. I was recently, well, and again, because we are recording these before they, like, months before this episode will ever be up, but we're recording this in March, just because we want to kind of get stuff done and out of the way. It's still going to be released on the weekly schedule. We're just recording them early, and wow, we're halfway done with this show. I'm sure I mentioned that last week in episode 50, but
right.
But it's one of those things where wow, we're halfway into the show. Halfway done with the show, there's only 49 or so episodes left. Wow, yikes.
Still a lot of stuff to cover, and I found it kind of interesting because we're about at the halfway point that a couple people have somehow, you know, found me on Facebook through the show. I don't remember if I mentioned it on here, if they went to the website or whatever, but I've had a couple people that have sent me friend requests, and just the other day one of them sent me a message asking, you know, what kind of which shows we were doing in the future and stuff like that. They were hoping that we were covering their favorite shows, and you know, just kind of, it was a positive message. But I remember he asked me if we were going to cover Ghostbusters, and so
We're going to cover the real Ghostbusters,
right? Yep, that's the one he was asking about, and I said, yep, you're in luck, we're covering that one.
We're not doing the Filmation one. I took that off the schedule.
But, you know, he was just wondering about a couple things like that, so I thought that was cool. So, you know, just give a shout-out to him. I think his name's Edward or Ed. But So he was excited that we're going to be doing the Ghostbusters. But I just think it's cool that there's people listening out there. We've had a voicemail or so. We've had some feedback. We've had, you know.
Yeah, you know, and it's one of those things. I did an interview with Brian Kilby of Radio Free Cybertron for This Week in Geek. Just kind of like a special additional piece of content for them for you know, for their website and all that stuff. And you know, I was saying to Brian that, you know, this whole podcast, I guarantee you, we're going to be getting emails and all that stuff 5 years from now, after the show's even over, because it's not immediate that people find this. I mean, yeah, I promote the hell out of all the shows as much as I can, but you know, if it's something that people's not going to be interested in, or if they don't listen, some people just don't listen to podcasts in general, or they don't have time, or whatever. You know, it as far as the feedback goes, it's not going to be instantaneous, unfortunately.
No, but it's just kind of cool to be, you know, with Geekcast Radio and with Behind the Voice Actors. It seems like they're both kind of being involved with both of them, and they're both getting popular at the same time. And
oh yeah, I've commented a lot over at BBTA.
Yeah, and like we just added a Facebook fan page for that site, and like in 1 week we got over 50 fans, so that was
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
And then just hearing all the feedback from the different podcast shows, it's just kind of fun to be a part of both of them.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, and I'm sure once this show ends, once Tooncast eventually ends, I'm sure we'll have other stuff for you to do.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, I actually already have a couple ideas, so.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I just had a horrible idea. Uh-oh. Force you to watch every season of Hannah Montana and review it.
that will never happen, my friend. I may watch every episode of MacGyver and review it or something, but I will not do that.
You know, some of the things that, and really, yeah, I've said this before. I don't know if I've said it to you or not, but after this show ends, after Secret Origins ends, and after Beast Unleashed ends, honestly, I'm probably going to cut back on all these separate... I'm going to start focusing more on the Geekcast Radio flagship show and just start doing topics for that instead of doing whole series of podcasts because, holy crap, outside of the guest stuff I've done on Radio Free Cybertron and doing the whole nerd news thing with This Week in Geek and everything else... Running an entire podcasting network that has two shows that run weekly, two shows that run bi-weekly, and other shows that are just launching and haven't launched yet, and blah, it's like, holy fucking crap, it's... Ugh.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm probably going to be cutting back as far as what shows I can... You know, just for a little while. Well, it isn't going to happen anytime soon. It's probably going to happen in the middle of 2011. Because this show won't actually end until June 1st, 2011. So, I mean, you know, we still have
at our rate, we'll be done. We'll be done with it in 2 months.
Shut up! Shut up! But yeah, no, there's not much else going on with me. I'm just, you know, doing all the cartoon watching and everything else. I just recorded Secret Origins episode 5 with Lupus Convoy and all that other happy stuff. You know, that's the other problem about recording these ahead of time is they're going to be so dated by the time they come out, because by the time this airs, I guarantee you will already be halfway through Secret Origins. But anyway, of course, I could just, you know, send episodes 44 to 49 to Steve now and say, release them all.
That wouldn't be very nice.
No, that wouldn't be very good. That wouldn't be keeping with the schedule, but no, that's pretty much it for me, so.
All right,
I think we are going to get into the history lesson. Take it away.
All right, for today's history lesson, we're actually, along with the last couple of weeks, we've gotten away from any of our spotlights, and we're back to just good old standard cartoons, and this week we're obviously focused on the Care Bears, which are a set of characters created by American Greetings in 1981 for use on greeting cards. The original artwork for the cards was painted by artist Elena Kucharik. In 1983, Kenner turned the Care Bears into plush teddy bears. Each bear comes in a different color and has a specialized insignia on its belly that represents its duty and personality. This insignia was known as their tummy symbol. However, the movie Care Bears Oopsie Does It renamed them belly badges. Adding to the Care Bear family are the Care Bear Cousins, which feature a lion, monkey, penguin, rabbit, and other such animals created in the same style as the teddy bears, and those were introduced in the Care Bears movie. The Care Bears appeared in their own television series from 1985 to 1988. In addition to three feature films, The Care Bears Movie, 1985, The Care Bears Movie 2, A New Generation, 1986, and The Care Bears Adventure in Wonderland, I Don't Even Want to Know, 1987. In 2002, the bears were reintroduced with new toys made by Play-Along Toys. The new toys offered features such as illuminated bellies upon touch, aerobic bears, of course, and glow-in-the-dark bears. As part of this comeback, the bears have appeared in two computer-animated movies, Care Bears Journey to Joke-a-Lot in 2004 and the Care Bears Big Wish movie in 2005. And then we keep going with Care Bears because in 2007, they were once again relaunched. The 25th anniversary commemorated in 2007, and the movie Care Bears Oopsie Does It was released in commemoration of the 25th anniversary. And as of 2008, and of course 2009 and I believe even 2010, Care Bears are still being marketed. The Care Bears icon and the copyrights in the character designs are currently owned by Those Characters from Cleveland, part of American Greetings. However, on July 23rd, 2008, American Greetings announced that the Care Bears, along with Strawberry Shortcake, would be sold to Cookie Jar Entertainment in an acquisition due to take place in September 2008. As of April 2009, it was announced that Cookie Jar Entertainment had problems in financing the acquisition and that a French company called Moonscoop has also expressed interest in the franchise. Cookie Jar has expressed its intention to counter Moonscoop's bid and has until a little bit last year to counter the bid. So I'm not quite sure what's going on with the copyright right now, but apparently there was a lot of people interested in the Care Bear copyright.
Oh, just let Hasbro buy them out. Hasbro bought out everybody else for the most part.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I would... I don't think this will ever happen, but I would wonder what would happen if Hasbro and Mattel merged.
It'd be crazy. I think the world would end, actually.
Yeah, probably.
But a lot of DVDs would be made.
Yeah, exactly. You know, going into the general memories, I remember watching this as a kid, and I remember kind of liking it. But, like, now, at the age that I'm at now, it's like, oh my god, it's like... it's kind of like watching Elmira.
Ouch.
It's, like, so freaking sweet and innocent and positive. It's like, oh my god, shoot me now.
I don't know. Care Bears, for me, it was... Now, when I was born in 81, and when you're young, when you're real young, like under the age of 5, obviously you have a different things that you like as far as cartoons and stuff like that go, compared to when you're, you know, like 5 to 10, etc. And when I was real young, you know, I remember I was humongous into Sesame Street, Smurfs, you know, Mr. Rogers, Reading Rainbow, all that type of stuff. But I think Care Bears was one of those shows that kind of bridged the gap for me. It was kind of, I know it didn't start till 85, but so I was about 4. But it was one of those that kind of bridged me from the little kiddie early childhood cartoons like Smurfs into getting ready for other good things to come, like which would be, you know, obviously the Transformers and G.I. Joe years of my life. But for that brief period when I was 4 or 5, I was huge into Care Bears. I was a Care Bear kid. I don't know if this was cruel or not, but my mom actually designed my room, and this is going to sound kind of... gay, but there she actually had rainbows and cloud pillows that were like stuck to the wall and like swings that the Care Bears would like Velcro to. So I not only had the Care Bear stuffed animals, but they stuck to my wall and stuff.
Okay, we are both pathetic. No, wait. I was going to bring this up down in the legacy segment, but since there is nothing in the legacy segment that I could find about the other Care Bears merchandise, like that kind of stuff you're talking about,
yeah.
I'll go ahead and admit this now. I had Care Bear bed sheets, I had a Care Bear pillowcase, and my favorite out of all of the Care Bears was Bedtime Bear.
Oh yeah. Well, I just think it was so cool as a kid to have your room kind of transformed into that and have like actual like toys and stuff like that up on your wall was something that was just like awestruck for me. And I remember it was a huge deal when at one point they actually had to come down. Mm. But it was cool because they weren't like the stuffed plush teddy bears. They were more like pillow size, not like giant pillow size, but they were like little pillows. But then they had Velcro on the back, and so you could stick different ones on the wall. And I wish I remember which individual ones I had. I know they're in a box somewhere, so I should dig them out. I don't know if it was Bedtime Bear or which bears it was, but I just remember that was so cool as a kid. Obviously, my next set of sheets were Transformers sheets, so I gained back my masculinity. But I'll just always remember that room because it was just such a cool thing.
I think after my Care Bear bed sheet days, I think I went... I don't know, I had a weird transition when it came into, like, bedding when I was a kid. No, seriously, I remember having, like, Batman and Robin and superhero bedding when I was, like, 4 or 5.
Yeah.
By the time I was six, I had the Care Bear stuff. By the time I was 7 and 8, it was a mixture between baseball and dinosaurs.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And I'm probably saying that wrong. I probably didn't transfer right into Transformers. I probably transferred into He-Man first, but same difference.
I don't know if I had the He-Man bedding. I don't remember if I did or not.
But I don't know. They hold a special part for me as far as general memory goes. I mean, certain things I can remember about the show from being a kid. Certain things I remember now that I see them in reviewing for this. But you know, it was an iconic thing for me, as it held a certain year or so in my life as far as a kid, as far as something that I was really consumed with. And, mm-hmm. and so I have pleasant general memories for it. I'll get into it, the actual quality of the show later on.
Yeah, you know, for me, it's the same thing. As a kid, I had really great memories of it, and I do now. But, yeah, it's just one of those things where I just can't watch the cartoon now. It's just, there's just no way.
Yeah.
So I guess we can move on to the characters here. I think. Where the hell is the...
Yeah, I got it. The franchise consists mainly of the Care Bears themselves, of course, as well as the later editions of the Care Bear cousins. Both of them lived in the Kingdom of Carrion, which is made up of Care-A-Lot, which is the home of the Care Bears, and then the Forest of Feelings, which is home to the Care Bear cousins. And accompanying them are the Star and Heart Buddies, who look out for the Bears and cousins whenever they are on missions in Carrion. I don't think they ever speak, but they're just kind of... There's these little stars and hearts that kind of float around,
yeah.
As well as birds who just kind of help out, but they don't really ever have like a speaking role or a big part that I can remember. And then you also have the Cloud Keeper, which is the portly gentleman who maintains Care-A-Lot, kind of like a narrator type guy for some of the specials and shows. He only appeared in some of the franchise's early publications and on the Deke produced TV episodes. Just in case we haven't covered that, there is both Nelvana Care Bear episodes, and there's Deke Care Bear episodes.
Mm-hmm. The 10 original Care Bears consisted of Bedtime Bear, Birthday Bear, Cheer Bear, Friend Bear, Funshine Bear, Good Luck Bear, Grumpy Bear, Love-A-Lot Bear, Tender Heart Bear, and Wish Bear. Later on, additional bears joined them, as well as the cousins. The two that I like the best out of those, Bedtime and Tender Heart. Those are my two favorites when I was a kid.
Yeah, as far as the actual original bears go, I kind of went back and forth. I mean, there's so many, and this is kind of a theme to the show, obviously, there's so much positive stuff that Grumpy Bear always stood out for me. I don't know if he was necessarily my favorite, but I kind of liked him just because he was different than the rest. And then I liked Bedtime Bear, just because he was cool. He's always sleeping, and what kid won't like that? And then I think after that, it was kind of a toss-up between either Good Luck Bear or Tender Heart Bear.
See, outside of Grumpy, Tender Heart, and Bedtime, I really don't remember the other ones that well.
Yeah, Good Luck Bear was the orange, the four-leaf clover one.
He
kind of had all... But some of the other ones, were just annoying.
Yeah.
Birthday Bear wasn't super annoying. He was kind of cool, because every kid loves their birthday. But, like, I think... It was either Friend or Funshine or Cheer. One of them was just annoying. I even remember that as a kid, that it was just kind of, I don't want to hear your voice. and then in the 2007 TV series, five of the Care Bears were chosen to be the main characters of the show. As seen on the Care Bears website, they are Cheer Bear, which obviously is a sign of the times. Cheer Bear still, Funshine, and Grumpy, and then the new one was Oopsie Bear, which is a horrible name for...
Yeah.
And then we should mention that the original leader of the... In the original series, the leader of the bears was Tenderheart Bear. Just real quick to just for a second, stop on the cousins for a second. I did like a couple of the cousins. Now, basically, the cousins are introduced in the movie, and you have, like, a elephant, a lion, you know, like, a dog, a cat.
Wasn't it Tenderheart Bear and Lionheart Cousin or something? Weren't...
Braveheart Bear was the... Or Braveheart Lion was
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yep, and they're cousins. But out of the cousins, I always liked the lion. I thought he was really cool. The monkey was okay. But some of those, like the sheep and stuff, were kind of, they weren't very good looking.
Yeah, I don't even remember the cousins, so I don't have any comments on them.
The cousins basically come in about halfway through the movie, and you can get a good look at them. But the weird thing about the movie is that they don't have their symbols on their chests or on their stomachs throughout most of the movie. They get them at the end, so they kind of look weird when you're watching through the movie because you don't remember them without their emblems. That's one thing that I think is cool about all the Care Bears. It was their actual emblem on their stomach. I think that was a genius idea. Obviously, they could shoot stuff out, and they could use that for different stuff. But I just think that was a cool, whether it was a marketing scheme or whatever, it was just cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Let's see. Do we need to talk about the carrying meter?
No, obviously, just to say what it is, there's a carrying meter in Care-A-Lot that basically is rated on how much people care, and if people are not caring down on Earth, then it drops and Care-A-Lot starts to get destroyed, so the Care Bears know they got to go help. And then the all-important Care Stare, which was basically a plot device. So whenever the Care Bears need to defeat people that don't care, they just stare at them, and their symbols kind of shoot into them, and then the people care all of a sudden. It's like the most pathetic way to... I mean, basically, you go through your whole story, and it doesn't matter, because at the end, they're just going to stare at you, and you're going to start caring again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how every problem is solved.
You know, I said to you off-air that I was actually the only thing I could actually find on YouTube without actually doing too much creative searching was the Care Bear movie. I started watching it, and I'm like, oh my god, this is just like watching fucking Elmira. It's like having a sweet tooth, eating too much sugar, and getting a toothache. It hurts so bad to watch this.
Yeah, I don't go that far, but I understand. I'll get into my thoughts when we get into the actual show.
As far as the villains, throughout the movies and series, various villains have tried to stop the Bears and Cousins on their missions. On the first two specials in Deke television series, they battled against Professor Coldheart, his assistant Frostbite, and occasionally Auntie Freeze. In Nelvana's version, they faced Wizard Noheart, his bumbling apprentice Beastly, and his ill-tempered niece, Shrieky. The minor villains like Dr. Fright and Sour Sam in the movies, they went up against Nicholas and the Evil Spirit in the Care Bears movie, Darkheart in Care Bears 2, the Wizard of Wonderland and his assistants, Dim and Dumb, oh god, in the Care Bears Adventure in Wonderland, oh my god. We'll never watch that. Wait. I gotta bring this up because there's a Turtles reference. And the Rat King and Evil Vizier in Care Bears Nutcracker Suite.
Can you imagine if that was the actual Rat King?
You mean from Turtles?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. But, I mean, I know they're going for the whole Nutcracker thing, but if you look at the name Rat King and Evil Vizier, first two things that come to my mind is Rat King from Turtles, and Jafar from Aladdin.
Yeah, and I think of the Vizier from Black Star since I just watched it. But just to real quick point out a couple of them. I swear I probably watched the Deke series more, but I remember... Well, obviously I remember Coldheart. He was all kind of bluish. Looked like he was obviously cold. But I remember Noheart, Darkheart, Beastly, and Shrieky a lot. And I don't know why, but... They're just kind of iconic, along with like the Peculiar Pie Man from Strawberry Shortcake and the Rainbow Bright Murky and Lurky. I mean, these are just kind of cool bad guys on this type of show, because a lot of times these types of shows that are basically geared towards early childhood, kindergarten, first grade aged kids, obviously they don't have a ton of evil type stuff on them, but they usually have great evil characters. I mean, if you just think of Gargamel from Smurfs, And you know, a couple of those early like childhood kindergarten shows, they do have some cool villains, even though they're not necessarily like evil like Megatron or Skeletor or something like that.
Yeah.
But
Skeletron or Megator.
Yeah, but I do remember Beastly, Shrieky, and then Cold Heart, and I don't remember if it's No Heart or Dark Heart I'm remembering more. I'd have to look at a picture of them both, but they're all kind of iconic, just classic good or bad guys.
You know, just looking down the voice list, I don't recognize any of these names.
They did. Dan Hennessy, which was Braveheart Lion, and John Stocker, who was Mr. Beastly, have done some stuff. Billy Mae Richards is an old school. She did some stuff back in the day, but yeah, you're right. There's a lot of names that are not as known. Although I will say that there is different people that voice them in. This is the cast for. I can't tell if it's the cast for. This is the deep cast, I think.
It's the cast for the whatever the show was, whatever the original show.
Right, but what I'm saying is that when they switch from Deep to Nelvana, or sometimes just in the movies, this is one of those where there's multiple people that voice certain characters.
Right, yeah.
Because there was different specials and movies, and there was two different companies that did the series, there are some potential voice compares amongst these characters.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we've already covered the whole favorite character thing or villain thing. I really honestly don't remember that much about this show to have a favorite villain, you know.
Right.
My main memory comes from my old pillowcase. Bedtime Bear, that's where I draw the line on this. Bedtime Bear, that's it.
Yeah.
So I guess we can get into the behind-the-scenes stuff here. Connections with Arthurian legend. Some elements of the Care Bears franchise pay homage to the legend of King Arthur. For example, the name of the main character's residence, Carelot, is a play on King Arthur's legendary Camelot castle. The Care Bear family sits around a heart-shaped table similar to the round table used by Arthur and his knights. In addition, Sir Lancelot's name inspired that of Love-a-Lot Bear. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. There was an error when the franchise was introduced in the 80s. A mistake was made while manufacturing the stuffed animals, causing Bedtime Bear, which is a blue bear, and Wish Bear, which is an aqua bear, to swap colors. As soon as the mistake was discovered, the two bears returned into their opposite or appropriate hues. Later, a children's story was written explaining why the bears had switched tints, which is, I give them credit for actually having a story that tried to explain the mistake, because that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Some of these are kind of...
No. This is almost like that running joke I have on the Beast Unleashed podcast with Tigatron and Air Razor, because later in season 2 or 3 of Beast Wars, they come back as a single robot called Tiger Hawk, and it's basically a transgendered robot. Oh, right. My God. We cannot talk about transgendered bears.
Yes, we can.
No! Oh, my God.
Swiftheart Rabbit, which is one of the Care Bear cousins, was changed from a male to a female, and Funshine Bear, which was originally a female in 2002 when they got relaunched, for some reason they decided to make that one a male. It's just another... It's my classic... the thing I hate, pet peeve about when they relaunch stuff, when they make movies, whenever they redo something... Why they have to switch main things. I don't care if you don't... I'm not saying you have to do the series exactly as it was in the 80s or whenever it aired originally. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that with Transformers. I'm not saying that with G.I. Joe. I'm not saying that with Care Bears. Nothing. But don't use a name that had been used and then completely change it. If you're going to completely bring in a new character, get a new name... Or, since there was so many to choose from, just use the original names, or find, if you wanted a male bear, find a different male bear that you're not using and use that one.
What I don't get is, Share Bear's original tummy symbol was originally a milkshake. They changed it to a lollipop. Because apparently milkshakes can be used to spread germs.
But, that's stupid.
What?
Maybe it was too romantic to have a milkshake with two straws in it.
Okay. All right. Well. Okay. And that. All right. But yeah. As far as Tenderheart, his fur color was changed from brown to red for the start of the first movie and Nelvana series, and changing it again to lighter orange tone for the 20th anniversary release. That's weird.
Yeah. You had Champ Bear, who was tan and had a symbol that was a trophy with a heart inside it. Now he's blue and has a star inside of this trophy instead of a heart. 1980s Secret Bear's gender was male and fur color was tan. In 2002, it became a female. So see, this makes no sense, because you had Secret Bear was a male and Funshine Bear was a female, and they switched them both. Why not just have them stay the same? You switched a male to a female and a female to a male. That makes no sense, you stupid 2002 people.
Oh, boy.
Sorry.
No, it's not you. It's just this whole, this whole transgendered with cartoons and toys. It just doesn't sit right, you know? It's like...
To sum it up, the Bears changed gender, they changed colors, and they changed symbols throughout the last 25 years.
Well, color changes and symbol changes, I don't really mind because I may not notice that right away. But yeah. gender changes, I mean, come on.
Yeah. You people that decided that in 2002 should be shot.
Yeah.
Or have your gender changed.
Wow. Wow.
just my opinion.
I'm not even going to mention any of these people that are listed in the directors and credits, because I don't recognize any of them.
It was directed by some people, and it was written by some people.
Yeah, that's about it. So, into the actual show. All right, so, how are we doing this?
We're not. No, I'm just saying. basically, the history is that they started as greeting card things, like we said before. Just kind of like Strawberry Shortcake, like the, I believe it was the Get Along Gang, and a couple other ones like that. You know, they started as a marketing scheme to put on greeting cards for kids. So that's how it started. Obviously, in the 80s, it was announced for a toy line by Parker Brother and Kenner the following spring. And basically, in 83, they're introduced as toys. And this is why I'm remembering it from even when I was younger. I was thinking it didn't come out until 1985, so how could I remember it when I was like 2 or 3 or 4? But the first actual television special was in 1983, and I did watch that. That's on YouTube. It's called The Land Without Feelings. It's not super great quality, but you can see Professor Coldheart, and you can see some of the main bears on that. I think it's about 23 minutes long at the most. So it starts greeting cards, toys, and then a TV special. Then, basically, in 84, they have another special, and then basically, as that is gaining popularity, they decide to do a full-out series and a movie.
Yeah.
Actually, the movie came out first, though, which is kind of weird, I think. I think the movie hit first. I could be wrong. But basically, they're almost happening at the same time. And the Care Bears movie, we'll talk about a little bit later. But so basically, you have in the 80s both movies and the TV series happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
An interesting thing to note that... over 40 million Care Bears were sold between 1983 and 1987.
Wow.
And during the decade, American Greetings printed over 70 million of their cards. In whole, the sales of the merchandise reached over $2 billion during the 1980s. This made them one of the most successful toy lines of its time, alongside My Little Pony and the Transformers. I'll let you cover the 90s.
No. We're not. Shit happened in the 90s. That's it.
Basically, there's a couple different attempts at revival that don't work.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just to clarify one thing, remember the 90s is the time of the Beanie Babies.
Yeah.
So Care Bears was kind of competing with that and trying to imitate it at times, and that's kind of why they failed, because they weren't official Beanie Babies and they weren't Care Bears. It was just kind of a weird morph bad thing.
Yeah, and in 2002 was the horrid relaunch. 2007 was probably another horrid relaunch. Yeah, 2007 was the relaunch where the Oopsie Doopsie Does It Whatever Bear came along. That is you're right. That's the worst fucking name ever.
Yeah, basically, that is for sure. So basically, they had a 20th year anniversary relaunch, and then they had a 25th.
Right. Yeah, and then in this is one of the things that I want to cover, the late 2009 reimagining. In late 2009, American Greetings announced that the Care Bears will be reimagined in with the launch of a new series, Care Power Team. Oh God. Oh God. I'm seeing it now. Care Bears with Zords.
Don't ever say that again.
Care Power Rangers.
I hate Power Rangers.
Come on. The reimaging, while reusing the Adventures in Care a Lot designs, will now have the Bears sport quote-unquote enhanced belly badges and see the Bears taking on emergencies. This series will start by releasing a DVD entitled Share Bear Shines. Okay, now, I'm telling you, this is Care Bear version of Power Rangers. If you look at that line and see the Bears taking on emergencies, what the hell do the Power Rangers do? They stop giant fucking monsters from destroying Angel Grove or outer space or whatever.
Even if it's bad, it'll be better than the Power Rangers. Now, I will say, just because we're kind of, you know, kind of going over this quickly, but the 2000 relaunches so far, they have looked completely different. It's not something like, I know My Little Ponies had a relaunch, and they actually look very close to the 80s versions to me.
Yeah.
The Bears are completely different.
Yeah.
If you look, I mean, they have classic episodes on YouTube, and they also have the 2000, I don't know if it's the 2002 or the 2007 one, but they're like littler, skinnier bears with bigger heads. Like, they don't actually look like bears. Like, the original ones looked like teddy bears. These are weird. I'm not saying they're bad, they just don't look like bears to me.
Yeah,
like,
you know, it goes along with, you know, the fact of, as far as the characters, and as far as the toys, the reimagining of the toys, you know, the other thing you could also equate it to is the, as far as the toy aspect of it, is the fact that they're not looking like the original ones. Mm-hmm. Whereas Masters of the Universe and Mattel did an awesome job making that classics line and pretty much updating every single Masters of the Universe 80s figure into a superposable figure. It kept all the same designs for the most part, just paid total homage to the 80s toys, whereas this sucks.
Yeah, and even the Masters of the Universe, I haven't watched all the episodes of the newer version, but even that was somewhat more, you know, close on to, I mean, again, they respected what had come first. Since we're on the major show thing, I just want to bring up a couple things that we've kind of mentioned. Like you said before, this is meant for a young crowd. It's meant, like you had said off air, it's basically like a half-hour PSA every time, where it's basically trying to instill good feelings and good thoughts into kids, which I will give it credit, because kids a lot of times have problems handling emotions or communicating emotions. Mm-hmm. and dealing with that type of stuff. So it is a unique thing where a cartoon basically tackles all the different emotions and gives you a way to kind of see that through somebody else. So that part is cool, and that's probably why I liked it as a kid, plus all the symbols, and it was just kind of cool, and all that stuff. But it is very hard, and I'm not trying to be mean, but unless you are a child of the 80s that is now an adult and female, and I'm not trying to be sexist here, but it's very hard to watch now.
Yeah.
It's so, like you said, it's like a sugar high and then having more sugar and all that kind of stuff, and it's just like so, so positive. And it's not just that, but the stories are so drawn out. What they could do in 15 minutes, they do in a half hour. The Care Bears movie, what could have been done in a half hour, was done in however long it was.
Yeah.
And it's just drawn out and so positive that as an adult, you're so cynical by this point, it's hard to stomach. I mean, yeah, I wish I was a kid that could still take it all serious and think it's all like, oh, yes, everybody can care and everybody can be nice. But
yeah.
I know different. So, unfortunately, as that is. But,
you know, it's funny. You're talking about the sugar high and all this stuff. The only thing I can think of is you'd have to be like Beavis and Need DB for your bunghole to even watch this thing.
No, all you need to do is eat one of those. Remember those giant pixie sticks?
Oh, God.
You need five of those. Then you have no problem watching this show.
The music segment. Some people did the music. I don't know who the hell they are. Honestly, I don't know.
It's a long lost relative of Peter Cullen, though.
What? Oh yeah, it could be his wife.
Patricia Cullen series original music by, I don't know. Ray Parker sounds somewhat familiar, but I don't know any of these people.
Well, Ray Parker, see, now I don't know if the Ray Parker listing, if they mean Ray Parker Jr. as in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably not.
Probably not, but anyway, going into the legacy segment, Care Bears in popular culture. In video gaming, the term Care Bear is used to describe a player, particularly in MMORPGs, who would prefer not to take part in player versus player combat in favor of playing cooperatively with other players versus completing quests and achievements unmolested. Oh, wow, that's horrible. Yes, that's what it does say in the information, folks.
Yeah. the nickname Care Bear is sometimes used for girls whose names are pronounced like Care, and I actually had a ex-girlfriend that's name is Carrie, and they called her Care Bear all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So if your name is Carol, Karen, Carrie, something like that, you probably are called Care Bear from time to time. One notable example is that Carrie Underwood's fans have been known as Carrie's Care Bears. On the NBC series Heroes, the cheerleader character Claire Bennett is called Claire Bear. And then Step by Step, there's a character called Karen Foster who's called Care Bear. So it's a popular nickname.
Yeah. Over
that's got to say, I don't mean to cut you off, but that's got to say something about the effect it had on people that 20, 30 years later, people are still referencing that. It's something that pops in their head as a nickname.
Over the years, the Care Bears have been featured in a bit parts or had influence in several other films and television series. Cinematic appearances and references include, but are not limited to, movies such as Police Academy 4, Citizens on Patrol, South of Wawa, Snow Day, and Blade Trinity.
I gotta rewatch Blade Trinity and look for...
Wow, yeah.
Wow. On the TV show The OC, Marissa Cooper has a share bear that reoccurs frequently throughout the show.
Until she gets shot in season 3.
Sorry. In two strips of the comic Pearls Before Swine, Pig suggests that Harmony Bear be sent to bring peace to the Middle East.
Oh, God.
That's an awesome... Send all the Care Bears and just stare.
Wow. In one strip of the comic, Deflocked, Mehmet is overheard playing with a Barbie and an unnamed Care Bear. Mehmet calls Sir Care Bear.
Then, of course, like most 80s things that were popular or successful, it has a lot of parodies and satires, basically. Eat the Cat.
Yeah.
There's a group of characters called the Squishy Bears. Oh, God.
Okay, since he's oh-godding over there, in Robot Chicken, poke fun of the Care Bears with various skits. The Simpsons episode The Fat and the Furriest, a Care Bear who has introduced himself is an intensive Care Bear and brandishes a tire iron, which Homer incorrectly calls a crowbar, appears as one of the bears Homer sees in his hallucination. Oh my God, I'll have to go back and look at that episode.
In the Family Guy episode, Brian sings and swings, all of Meg's toys run away to avoid watching the video of her ballet recital. One of them, a Care Bear named Sunshine Bear, chooses to throw itself into the path of an oncoming truck rather than go back to Meg.
Rugrats. Nobody cares about Rugrats. The Flash animation, The Ultimate Showdown by Neil somebody. And he uses the Care Bear stare to defeat Jackie Chan and zombie Abraham Lincoln. Oh, God.
And then you had the Rainbow Monkeys from Codename Kid Next Doors.
Yep.
The Share Bear Boxers.
Yeah.
From The Sweet Life of On Deck with Cody.
Yeah.
So basically they're all over the place. A lot of people, you've seen a lot of different types of bears show up, like the...
You know what the most violent parody of the Care Bears is?
What's that?
Happy Tree Friends!
Oh, jeez.
I love Happy Tree Friends.
You've lost it. No, I'm just kidding.
No, you have no... I love Happy Tree Friends. That is... It's funny, but it's also violent. Yeah. It's just hilarious.
Besides showing up in lots of different pop cultural references, there's been a lot of merchandise over the years. They've been torn. They've been basically put in with. We're going into Legacy here.
We already earned the Legacy.
Yeah. But basically, there's a lot of connections with the Gummy Bears and the Care Bears. Of course, all the greeting cards, which is the original home for Care Bears. There's been party goods, cell phone covers, stickers, clothing accessories, Valentine's stuff, candy. There's been a lot of stuff that has been put in Care Bear images.
Yeah.
And then you have, of course, books. You have music. Care Bears, it wasn't like a strictly musical cartoon like some, but there was a lot of music scattered throughout. There, oftentimes you would see a song in an episode, or, you know, some of their specials or movies had two songs or so, or three songs. So there is some music that's, some of it's good, some of it's bad. I forgot to mention it back when we were talking about music, but the actual theme song to the original 80s cartoon is, in my opinion, one of the, I don't know, 20 best theme songs of the 80s. It's actually a pretty good song. Because it feels like a song, it's got energy, it gets you excited for the show. So the theme song is actually worth listening to. The actual songs in the episodes that I've seen
suck.
Are pretty bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
The actual songs are bad, but the theme song is cool.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where it's just... It's so dated now.
Yeah.
And that's kind of sad. Like you said, there is video games. You know, one thing that it isn't listed here and it didn't have anything was the DVD releases.
I haven't seen any DVD releases ever. I don't know if they have, like, there might be some that just have a few, like, I know the Care Bears movie, I think, is somewhere out there. I don't know if it's on DVD, though.
Yeah,
I know it's out on VHS, but I'm not sure if it's out on DVD. But yeah, I'd have to do a double check to see. And since I just mentioned the movie, I do want to say one thing though. Unfortunately, I have to admit this, but the Care Bears movie actually outshined just about every outside of Disney. Just about outdid every animated movie in the 80s, as far as box office goes.
Okay, for a second there, I thought you were talking about as far as quality of the movie.
No. As far as bringing in money, it demolished the Transformers movie. It destroyed just about every cartoon movie that was out there. It just must have been timed just perfect as far as when it came out. But it was also one of the best movies that company had ever put out as far as box office numbers go.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, one other quick trivia for you. It's the first movie that is based directly on a toy line that ever came out, according to internet sources. Because it came out in 85.
Yeah, well, wasn't the movie, like, they basically did the reverse of He-Man and Transformers, where the movie was also the pilot of the show. I'm trying to remember. You said the movie premiered in 85 and then the show started, correct?
Well, I should take that back. There was specials. There was a special that aired in 83.
Right.
There was another special that aired in 84.
Right, but as far as the actual cartoon series, the actual Deke cartoon.
I believe the Nelvana one had aired before the original movie somehow.
Oh.
I'm not sure on the timing there. I know the movie aired before the Deke did. I'm not sure if Nelvana came out a little bit before that or at the same time or a little after that, but it was almost simultaneously, it seemed. Which is different from like the Transformers movie who came out basically at the end of the run. G.I. Joe movie was at the end of the run.
Yeah.
So it was kind of, maybe that's why, because they put out the movie more towards the when the popularity was there, rather than waiting for that group to be, you know, dwindling.
Yeah.
But it did set some precedence as far as being a movie that was directly based on toys and you know, a lot followed in the 80s that did the same thing.
Yeah. All right, well, we are going to take a quick break, and we will be back with final thoughts.
Kerala is a place we a feeling we all know. We never do.
make a new start. If you don't know where it is, look inside your heart. Care-a-Lot is a playground you can find for sliding and swinging carousels, playing music in your mind, for dancing and singing. Sometimes you feel so glad, sometimes you feel blue. Share your feelings, it's not bad. Feelings are just you. Is easily found. You've been there, and you have friends who care. Don't you let your sadness get you down. It always helps when you sing a song. Sing a song. Good cheer carries you along. Through darkness leads to sunlight. A new day comes, it's alright. Care-a-Lot is a place you'd like to be. Riding on a cloud, you'll care a lot. It's a rainbow fantasy. For laughing out loud, Care-a-Lot is a place we often kiss.
So, final thoughts on the Care Bears. I'm going to go first this time. I like gummy bears much better, and we'll be getting to the gummy bears in episode 55. So, yeah, that's my final thought.
you just got me super excited about the future. I love the gummy bears. I'll say this much. Okay, as a child of the 80s, you're always accused of whenever you're talking about stuff that was around when you were a kid, you're always, oh, you're watching it through rose-tinted goggles, and, oh, that's just the nostalgia talking, and blah, blah, blah. Shut up. that's basically what you're accused of when you like shows that were from your childhood, and everyone says, no, that doesn't stand up. You know, it's horrible, blah, blah, blah. This is one of the rare times where they're right. If you're liking this show, it's because either you're just the most positive, lovey-dovey person in the world, or it's because you grew up with it, and that's the only reason, because the show really does not stand up to the test of time. There's a lot of shows from my childhood that do stand up. This one's not one of them. That being said, it was good for its time, and if you were a kid during the time when it came out, it was probably had positive effects on you, and it was a good show to watch. Like I said, it kind of holds a special part in my heart as far as, you know, that when I was 3 or 4, whatever age I was, this is one of the things I loved. But I am glad that I graduated onto bigger and better stuff.
Yeah.
Some of which we'll be talking about in the second half of this TuneCast life.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, like I said... Well, like you said, I get the fact that people need to be positive, especially kids nowadays. That's fine. But this is like, oh my god, I'm Curly, I just did something stupid and Moe's gonna hit me with that fucking hammer. yeah. Seriously, that's what this is. It's like getting hit over the head with a hammer.
Yeah, you can't take too much of this, that's for sure.
No.
If the episodes were 5 minutes long... it might be easier to take. But, you know, they came up with some cool things. The emblems on their stomach was a great thing that they came up with. I like that there was a variety of characters because then you could all have your favorite. It's not like there was only 4 main characters or 5 main characters where
everybody
likes the same one. I like shows where there's a variety where everyone can have a different favorite character. I liked how they introduced the cousins in the movie, and I did like some of the cousins, but I could never watch the entire series of this.
No. All right.
So it gets a nostalgic thumbs up and the 20 some
nostalgia thumbs up, reality thumbs down.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. We have an all-new outro. Thank you for joining us here on TuneCast. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. Join the forums, predaconempire.com/nexus. Leave the show feedback in iTunes. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is GCRNTuneCast. Mine is TFG1Mike. What is your Twitter?
Boss K-Dog.
Become a fan on Facebook. Search GeekCast Radio Network. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name, 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast. We wish you'll join us next time when we will be reminiscing on Underdog. Wow, I think I did that wrong. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Optimus Solo.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
It's the season of gratitude. We love this time of year because it helps us to actually take the time to focus on all that we truly have and all that we're thankful for.
At Simple Bath & Kitchen, all of you pop to the top of that list. Our Columbus community has allowed our SB&K team to work in your most sacred place, your home.
We understand that privilege, and we're so happy that by remodeling your bathroom and your kitchen, you've become part of our family.
At Simple Bath & Kitchen, we're grateful for you.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello!
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.